Okay, well, I'm very pleased to be here, and I have to begin by offering my sincere thanks to Sienna and Denise for organizing this panel. I know, well, I have some slight idea of how much effort has gone in, but I'm sure there was an awful lot more than that. And of course, to all of the other organizers of this Congress, and of course, to our hosts here in Bhutan also. I'm currently in the final stages of my PhD research in anthropology, which concerns the transformations taking place in Sorigpa in Ladakh in northwestern India. And I'm particularly focusing on changes in the social networks through which materia medica circulate and changes in how medicines are produced and used. What I want to explore today is the relationship between some of these change processes, which I will collectively refer to as modernization processes, and medicinal plant conservation projects. I adopt a biocultural approach to this relationship, which I see as a continuously evolving dynamic interaction between biological and cultural diversity. Although the situation in Ladakh differs quite radically in many ways from the situation of Soarigpa in other parts of the Tibetan cultural area and from other Asian medical systems, I do feel that there are many resonances with experiences elsewhere, such as the examples of Chinese medicine in China, examined by Pei Shengji, who's here. And also of Soarigpa in Nepal, particularly in an article by Sienna Craig and Amchi Gyatso Bista, from which this quote comes. I think this quote kind of sums up quite a lot of the tensions and things I'm trying to explore. My paper shows how the majority of project activities designed to mitigate biodiversity loss in contemporary Ladakh are controlled by individuals and institutions with particular sets of interests. They are commercial interests, political interests, and they're also linked to explicit modernization projects for the medical system, and especially the mass production of standardized Tibetan medicines. Already marginal practitioners, most of them in rural areas, at least at the moment, are gaining very little from these projects, and many of them face further disenfranchisement and decline in spite of them. While the influential actors who run the projects are able to consolidate their social and medical and financial positions and to further their developmental agendas. I argue that while medicinal plants are indeed facing increased threats in Ladakh, it is small-scale, non-professional medical practice that has become critically endangered in recent years, with considerable implications for the future of medical knowledge, practice form, and for the use patterns of medicinal plants. I see, as I've already mentioned before, but I see biological and cultural diversity to be inextricably linked, following Posey and Duffield from 1996. And I conceptualize medicinal plants as biocultural entities inherently interconnected with the medical cultures and socioeconomic systems that make use of them. Shankar and Majumdar have suggested that the conservation of medicinal plants in its biocultural perspective not only implies conservation of biodiversity, but also places an equal emphasis on the conservation of cultural diversity. Now, the majority of literature on biocultural diversity, exemplified in the collections of essays by Mafi and Step et al., at the bottom of this slide, correlate culture and biodiversity at the sort of macro scale of language groups and ecosystems. And what I'm seeking to do is to apply a sort of similar analytical framework, but at a more micro level. So I really want to look at diversity of medical knowledge, practice, and economic behavior within a single medical system and quite a small geographical area as it interacts with the biodiversity from which much of its medicines are made. To explore this further, I ask, how do medicinal plant conservation projects reflect and contribute to change processes in Soarigpa, particularly the mass production of standardized medicines? And how are Amchi, in different social and geographical spaces, interpreting, adapting, or resisting these changes? In today's Ladakh, there is considerable diversity amongst the practitioners of Soarigpa, who are known locally as Amchi. They learn through different forms of knowledge transmission, including hereditary and master-disciple lineages, various institutional training courses, both within Ladakh and elsewhere, and combinations of these two streams of knowledge. They access materia medica, including medicinal plants, through extensive social networks, which combine varied economic forms. Collection, of course, but also reciprocal exchange, big networks of reciprocal exchange that have been relatively poorly researched in Ladakh and elsewhere. Also systems of sharing, borrowing and lending, and other sort of reciprocal systems, as well as market purchase. And they produce medicines at a range of scales. The majority of Ladakhi Amchi still produce their own medicines, but this is changing as we'll see. Social and clinical conditions also vary widely, from village Amchi embedded in long-term reciprocal relationships with familiar patients, to professional Amchi running fixed price and relatively anonymous clinics in the urban areas, and everything in between. Unlike Soa Rigpa in Bhutan, China and Mongolia, the system has not yet been officially recognized in India. But the last decade has witnessed a stepping up of the quest for recognition under the Indian systems of medicine. Soa Rigpa in Ladakh has entered a phase of accelerated change in the ways in which drugs are sourced, produced, circulated and prescribed, and in how Amchi claim and are granted legitimacy and status. And these shifts are all leaving the future of small-scale independent practice based on the home production of medicines very much in question. Led by a handful of largely urban and institutionally trained Amchi, who we may describe as an elite group, a concerted push is being made towards the mass production of medicines as part of a wider program of modernization aimed at hastening recognition under the Indian systems of medicine and preparing Ladakhi Amchi for a more professional form of practice once recognition has been achieved. While most Ladakhi accept that recognition is absolutely vital in order to gain state support and also very much to keep the system alive in any form, there is much ambivalence and uncertainty surrounding this also. Increasing numbers of Amchi are beginning to realize that this process entails a significant reconfiguration of the system. And in this reconfiguration, much will be sacrificed and many will be left out in the cold. I'll move on now to briefly discuss, because of time constraints, but four medicinal plant conservation projects in Ladakh in terms of their aims, activities, their outcomes for Amchi in different locations, and the ways in which these new forms of interaction between cultural and biological diversity map on to wider issues in the development of Soa Rigpa in contemporary Ladakh. Before I do so, I should just quickly point out that Ladakh is a high-altitude, cold desert region, and although many of the medicinal plants found in Tibet, Nepal and Bhutan, the high-altitude plants, do grow there, they are restricted to relatively small pockets and are markedly less abundant than they are in other areas, particularly Bhutan and Nepal, for example. Medicinal plants in Ladakh are very scattered and actually quite hard to find in comparison to many other Himalayan regions. I begin by discussing small and medium-scale medicinal plant cultivation by individuals. I've worked with a number of educated urban-dwelling Amchi who have secured grants from the Indian National Medicinal Plants Board, supplemented with funds from foreign donors, and have used them to cultivate medicinal plants. The first has cultivated Manu, which is Inula racemosa, and Rusta, which is Sossaria lapa or Sossaria costus, both of which are used in a large number of Tibetan but also Ayurvedic preparations. And he's cultivated these on a relatively large scale, yielding several tons of the valuable roots in 2008. This Amchi does not produce his own medicines, so what he did was he sold the entire harvest to pharmacies and clinics in the urban areas of Ladakh. And he then reinvested the profit that he made from this into the two private clinics that he runs. The second Amchi experimented with a larger number of species, but found most of them too difficult to cultivate on any meaningful scale, and so he also focused on Manu and Rusta. Mm-hmm. And to date, this Amchi has used all of the materials produced in this way to produce the medicines that he uses in his own clinic, and also to expand his commercially oriented pharmacy. Both these AMCHIs claim biodiversity conservation as the main aim of their projects. Yet closer examination casts some doubt on the local conservation benefit, as well as suggesting perhaps some other motivations for their involvement. To begin with, neither Inlilura somosa nor Sossaria lapa are actually endemic species in Ladakh. They grow naturally at lower elevations. So while their cultivation may have gone some way to reducing pressure on wild populations elsewhere, it certainly has no effect on the numerous other species that do grow in Ladakh and are becoming increasingly endangered. It appears that the main outcome of these projects was the consolidation of the medical and social positions of the AMCHIs involved and the expansion of their clinics and one of their pharmacies. And we can see that such expansion actually demands greater amounts of all Materia Medica, including those wild-harvested species that are facing mounting pressure and for which cultivated equivalents remain unavailable. The next project I want to talk about today was implemented over 5 years by a large Indian NGO based in Delhi that works all across the Himalayan belt. And they were using comparatively vast funds for Ladakh from an international donor, and they were combining conservation and income generation objectives by training farmers and AMCHI in over 20 villages, facilitating the growth of medicinal plants, which were targeted for sale in local and national markets. And the primary species promoted for cultivation were, once again, Manu Anrutha. As they grow with particularly high potency in Ladakh, this has been tested by various Dabur and other corporations and found very high potency of Manarusta grown in Ladakh, and can fetch an attractive market price of between 150 and 250 rupees per kilo, which is in the region of $4. In terms of outcomes, the project succeeded in producing a single crop of these two species, and a proportion of this did go towards supplementing the needs of some of the AMCHIs involved in the project. But the majority of the harvest was collected together and sold in bulk to the larger AMCHI pharmacies in the urban areas of Ladakh. And although a modest income was secured by most of the farmers and AMCHIs involved in the cultivation, few plan to repeat it now that the project is closed, and most have reverted to growing other crops, such as potatoes or mustard seed. So as with the first two projects I've already discussed, little, if any, positive impact for wild-harvested species of medicinal plant inside Ladakh came out of this initiative, and minimal benefits accrued to the wider AMCHI community. The majority of the cultivated material flowed into entrepreneurial pharmacies in urban areas, who secured good prices as they bought in bulk, while most of the AMCHIs I've spoken to in remote areas didn't even know that this project was happening. And if they did know, the prices they were paying for the roots were basically the same that they would pay in the markets of Amritsar or Delhi. The final project I want to discuss today is being run by Ladakh AMCHI Sabha, which is the largest association of AMCHIs in Ladakh. This project is in its very early stages, but it's experimenting with the cultivation of a wide range of species with the aim of supplying cheap, sustainably sourced medicinal plants for use in its own pharmacy. And to understand the implications of this project for biocultural diversity, we need to kind of see how it fits into the wider objectives of the association. In recent years, Ladakh AMCHI Sabha has been leading the charge, as it were, has been the main institution driving the modernization of Sarigpa in Ladakh, and also leading the quest for recognition by the Indian government. In partnership with another central government-funded institution called the Sarigpa Research Centre. An important plank in their programme is the expansion of their pharmacy, which aims to supply standardised, mass-produced medicines to as large a proportion of Ladakhi AMCHI as possible, both in institutionalised and in village contexts. Under a project launched this year and funded by the Ayush Department of the Government of India, the pharmacy will produce 30 types of medicine and supply them freely to over 50 AMCHI in rural areas of Ladakh. They also aim to become the principal supplier of medicines to the National Rural Health Mission, which is another centrally government-funded project, which has recently sanctioned the posting of 17 institutionally qualified AMCHIs in health centres across Ladakh. The AMCHI Sabha Pharmacy has already doubled its output of medicines between 2008 and 2009, but it will need a further significant increase over the coming years if it's to reach its new objectives. While the medicinal plants grown in their gardens will certainly offset the increased demand for wild plants to some extent, a rise in the use of non-domesticated plants appears inevitable nevertheless, and this kind of calls into question the conservation outcomes of the organisation as a whole. And at the same time, this project converges with other initiatives, such as the mass production and circulation of standardised medicines, which are the cause of considerable ambivalence amongst the Amchis, and I'll return to this shortly. And due to the time constraints, I've given very short and, you know, not very detailed accounts of these projects. And it should also be noted that these are not the only medicinal plant-related initiatives that are taking place in Ladakh these days, as a paper by Tsewang Gombo later in this panel, I think on Wednesday, will explain. However, I think that these sketches provide some kind of entry point into examining how the cultivation of medicinal plants holds quite different meanings for practitioners in different geographical and social spaces. Elite practitioners holding modernizing agendas on the one hand, and those on the margins who have more conservative orientations on the other. The first project showed how two well-educated urban practitioners have adopted the discourse of conservation and thus been able to secure development funds and use them to consolidate their positions. The second project showed it was a larger project and it really failed to promote the cultivation of medicinal plants as a viable agricultural alternative, and had little or no impact on the availability or cost of plants for the vast majority of Ladakhi Amchi. The Ladakh Amchi Sabah project has a similarly questionable role in conservation, and it's linked to their modernization agenda, and therefore holds a further set of questions for the future of Sarukpur and Ladakh. The production and free distribution of medicines to rural Amchi is seen by many as a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it gives a tangible and much-needed support to practitioners struggling to maintain their practices in rural areas, but on the other hand, it's seen to undermine the production of medicines by Amchis themselves. Almost all of the Amchis I've spoken to about this, and that's quite a few by now, have said that they would much prefer to receive raw materials than finished medicines under this program, for a number of reasons. Firstly, they feel more confident using their own medicines. They know exactly what balance of materials are present in the preparations. Secondly, producing your own medicines is seen as an essential part of Amchi knowledge and practice in Ladakh. It maintains a deep understanding of the materials, their potencies, and the precise applications of the drugs. Thirdly, most Amchi in Ladakh make medicines in powder form, which they can adjust for specific patients and conditions by mixing in extra ingredients, which cannot be done with the Amchi Sabah medicines, which are mostly supplied in pill form. Finally, home production of medicines forms an important part of identity of Ladakhi Amchi and is often set in contrast with others, such as Tibetan practitioners both within Tibet and in India, who mostly use centrally produced medicines. The National Rural Health Mission project is also a source of ambivalence and differences of opinion amongst the Amchis. All of the Amchis of Ladakh herald the posting of Sarug practitioners in government health centres as a huge triumph for the system, an important step towards recognition, but many also voice concerns about it. They voice concerns that a whole generation of young, institutionally trained Amchis may entirely lose their practical knowledge of medicinal plants and pharmaceutical techniques, which are considered so central by their forebears and also their non-professionalized contemporaries. It is also feared that the provision of free medicines, Amchi medicines in rural areas, in health centers, may actually further undermine the economic and social position of non-qualified Amchis in the surrounding area, taking patients away from them and making it even harder for them to secure adequate payment from those that remain. Okay, so I've got a couple of minutes left, have I? Okay. If we accept that there is a correlation between cultural and biodiversity at all scales, we have to look closely at how a reduction in the former may impact upon the latter, and in turn feed back to make access to resources even more difficult for those at the margins. Modernizing Sarukpa through centralizing medicine production and professionalizing practice will inevitably lead to a homogenization and a reduction in intracultural diversity, and it will also alter the way in which AMCHI relate to and use medicinal plants. Specialist pharmacists need regular supplies of large quantities of plants, and this puts great pressure on wild populations, as we will see and already have seen in this panel. Compared with the small-scale collection in localized areas by AMCHI for their own use. If AMCHI are encouraged to use greater proportions of centrally produced medicines or are supplied with all they need in this way, we might argue that their stewardship, their interest in stewardship and protection of their own local plants is likely to fade along with their intimate knowledge of the ecology and uses of those plants. And the projects I've outlined today have done very little to reduce pressure on the endangered medicinal plants of Ladakh. And they are tied to commodification of medicines and an expanding scale of production. Unless and until cultivation of rare species is taken up on a scale sufficient to replace wild harvested materials or at least offset the rising demand for them, this expansion of the scale of production is likely to put increasing pressure on wild plant resources. And the AMCHI of Ladakh all accept that modernization of their medical system is vital. But the stakes are very different in this process between those practicing in different locations, social and geographical locations. While those at the center see the possibility of integration into the Indian systems of medicine, with all of the financial and political power that that would bring, and all of the opportunities for improving the system or modernizing the system, many village AMCHI are already predicting the complete disappearance of their kind in the coming decades, and at the very least, the loss of what they see as very important defining elements of their particular, diverse, and locally adapted version of Swarupa. So I conclude with a question, which I don't know is a very good thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. Is it inevitable that commodification, professionalization, and centralized medicine production erodes small-scale medical practice to the point of disappearance? Or is some kind of middle way possible in which modernization and dynamism are facilitated and biological diversity is protected, but alongside ongoing support for more diverse forms of knowledge, practice, and biocultural interaction? Thank you very much.